The Orange FM.
Welcome to another episode of Bad Wolf Radio, a discussion and review podcast all about Doctor Who. I am one of your hosts, Aaron Goins, and I'm here with the man who suddenly feels a little weird about his crush on Missy, Adam Farmer.
Okay, that's a good one. That's totally unexpected. Well done. Bravo. Nice work.
Yeah, what the listeners don't know is it took me about half an hour to come up with that. We spent a good amount of time before this episode started recording trying to figure out a good intro, but
it's an amazing way to review the episode because you have to go through every aspect of the episode with a fine-tooth comb to find out what fits best.
There's got
to
be something.
There has to be something that's not so serious.
Yeah, so as you can tell, we're a little off our game tonight, I would say. We didn't have an intro ready. There's really no news to talk about. My voice is kind of gravelly because I have a cold. And we have no notes for the show. So we're literally winging it tonight.
But you know what makes up for it? An incredible episode that sticks with you like crazy.
This is
true. There's no need for notes.
This is true.
This is a great episode.
We get to talk about Dark Water, the part one of a two-part finale of Doctor Who Season 8. Very exciting. A lot of stuff happens in this episode. A lot to talk about. And we're just going to kind of hit some of the main points. We're not going to talk about anything other than the episode, and we're just going to just dissect it from what we can remember and just have some fun with it.
And the crazy thing is, like you mentioned, it's the finale. I feel like we've spent so much time leading up to Series 8 talking about what could happen, where we're going to go, what we're going to find out about the Doctor. Is Gallifrey going to show up? Yes, we talked about Gallifrey showing up. We've talked about everything leading up to the series, and here we are already at the finale. It's crazy to think about.
It's really weird to think that Doctor Who, we have one more episode to record, Adam, after this, and then Christmas special.
We're already talking about the Christmas special. Does it feel like the season's flown past as quickly as it has for you, as it has for me?
Definitely. And that's always one of the downsides, I think, of Doctor Who compared to, other American television that we're used to listening to or watching. It only has, 12, 13 episodes, and then that's it. And in American TV, we get like 22 episodes, so we're a little spoiled. But yeah, so I guess it's better than Sherlock, where we get like three.
Right, but three every 2 years.
But yeah, we get our 12, 13 episodes, and then we got to wait.
And this year, it's even been slightly different because they did the seasons, the episodes of the series, one right after the next. In the past, we've had six episodes, and then we've taken this long break. We hit the Christmas special, and then after that, we've waited a little bit longer than we'd hit six more episodes. Here, they front-loaded everything. We're on the fringe of completing an entire series. We have the Christmas special, and then we're done. We don't have six more episodes to wait for. We don't have a halfway point of the season. We are at the end.
Yes, we are. But before we start talking about Dark Water, let's just talk about the stats for it. It is the 11th episode of Season 8 of Doctor Who, and the writer is Stephen Moffat.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah, and the director is Rachel Talalay.
Yes.
So Stephen Moffat, I don't think he would let anyone else write the finale of this series.
And you know what? After the series that we've had, I don't know if I'd want anybody else to write the finale. I've been pretty impressed with the direction that the showrunner has given us. I'm sure, as we've seen throughout all the episodes, he's had his hand in almost every single one. Although he wasn't the main writer, it seems like he's popped up more and more, more than what we originally were led to believe. And I'm happy to have him writing the last of it.
I was very happy with this episode in general, just the writing of the episode. A lot of the dialogue, some of the stuff that just happened, like it was good. I give Stephen Moffat props on this one for sure. But yeah, so the episode starts out, pretty big thing happens right at the beginning, and it really threw me for a loop, to be honest with you. I know, it's this whole, afterlife story that's coming. We knew that it was coming, but I never thought that they would kill Danny Pink. It just never crossed my mind. For some reason, we've always been speculating that Clara may not make it, out of this season. Like, this might be the end for her. So I was focusing that direction, that there might be something. She dies. The doctor's got to go rescue her from this, this netherworld. But no, it was Danny Pink that died.
Yeah. I over the past couple of episodes, we've had more and more references of Missy honing in on Clara. There seemed to be some connection growing between Missy and Clara. And so I was with you. I was expecting that Clara would be the one that received the axe. We would find some way that they were tied together. The nether sphere would come in. Clara would be dead, something along those lines. I was completely caught off guard, pleasantly surprised in, a very dark and morbid way, but really surprised at how it started out with Danny on the phone having the big conversation we've been waiting for over the past couple episodes, where Clara is finally getting ready to just lay everything out. And then the phone line goes dead. And then you have the random lady picking it up. And we find out that Danny has just been hit by a car. Didn't expect that at all. I'm with you. It was, he didn't step foot on the TARDIS. He wasn't ever in danger. He has always just been at home. Life was his great adventure. He didn't need all that. And he was picked off by a car.
And just in the most cruel way, like, at least for the viewers, in my opinion, to have this scene where she's on the phone with him. She's about to, basically just lay her heart out to him. Tell him the truth about everything. She's got all her post-it notes up on the bookshelf, and it's kind of cool to pick off the different words that were written on those post-it notes.
Impossible but, girl.
Yeah. Robin Hood was on there. Yep. Sigh, the name of the guy.
Everything was covered.
Yeah, so everything was up on there. She's gonna lay it all out for him. But before she does that, she just tells him, "I love you," which was really sweet. Nice to see Clara.
I liked it.
It was good. It was a good scene. And then even just like the way that she, says, "You're the last person that's ever gonna hear me say this. Those words are yours now." It's a very flowery language. Stephen Moffat did a good job writing it to kind of catch, kind of tug at your heartstrings a little bit. And then he's dead, right after she tells him that she loves him. And I'm not going to lie, and I'm a bit of a crybaby when it comes to TV anyways. I tend to get misty-eyed from time to time. But Doctor Who has key moments throughout the series that have made me, I won't say the word cry, but they've definitely made me tear up. And this one did it to me.
Yeah, I especially liked, it was a very emotional moment, but then how they kind of drew it out after that, like, once again, over the past couple episodes, we've gotten this feeling that Clara has really fallen in love with the fantastic. She's fallen in love with the incredible journey that is the TARDIS and everything that is amazing that happens while she's on the TARDIS. That is her great adventure. And then to have, she even says it, she deserved more than that. She was owed more than that. She wanted just to have something where he gets hit by a car and everybody goes about with their shopping, their iPods, everything like that. I appreciated that. It was just very, in a sense, anticlimactic. Yeah, it was climactic for us as a viewer, but then for all of a sudden, all these amazing things have happened. And for Danny just to be ripped away from her like that, I found that to be the emotional part of it. When she's in her kitchen, her grandma that we haven't seen in a while shows up, and her she's calling the doctor, and there's just that conversation. I really appreciated that. Moffat did a really, really great job throwing that in there.
So it's followed up by the scene that you were referring to. She gets on the phone with the doctor, and the doctor has no idea what happened. he doesn't know that Danny's dead. So he's very much, he's just unaware, and he calls her, and she just goes into this fake, you know, personality mode. Like, she just turns on the charm and doesn't act like she's sad at all.
How easy is that for her?
It's so easy for her. It's a little disturbing how easy it was for her to kind of turn that on. But that it fits her character. Clara tends to be a little, I don't know, two-faced might be just more harsh than I mean it, but
she definitely has been that way this season.
Yeah, she tends to be able to kind of turn it on and turn it off when she needs to. But yeah, just the way that she tricks the doctor into thinking everything's okay. So she has an agenda. She's upset that this has happened. She is not accepting the fact that she's lost Danny, and she is going to do everything in her power to fix it. And lucky for her, she has a friend who owns a TARDIS. So right. She thinks that if she can, you know, get him into the right position and basically scare him into helping her, that she can actually fix this.
Yeah. It was... So I love the scene where she's just rushing around the TARDIS. She's picking up the keys. She slaps the sleep patch on the dock there, waking up in the volcano, which I have to say had nothing to do with Pompeii. So that immediately ripped my theory out of the water that Pompeii showing up would, or the volcano showing up would have something to do with Pompeii, who the doctor is, all that jazz. In fact, Claire's getting ready to chuck the keys, making demands of the doctor. I really loved that exchange. Like, you saw Clara at the rock bottom. You saw her fragmented. You saw her essentially using a lot of what she's learned along the way of being on the TARDIS to get the upper hand, to be the one in control of the situation and threatening the doctor. How did you see that exchange?
I thought it was great. I loved the exchange. It was intense. I had a hard time believing that Clara cared that much for Danny because of the way that she's been treating him all season. It would almost be like, maybe not. Maybe this is a bad example, but I was going to say it would almost be like if Rose had done something like that, if Mickey died. And you would just be like, what? Like, you've been a jerk to him the whole time. You've been running off with the doctor. You obviously care more about the adventures with the doctor than you care about this guy. But then suddenly he gets hit by a car and you care. Like, that's kind of how I felt with what happened in this scene. It just, there wasn't that bond between them that I believed. So when he did die and she's acting like she like lost her soulmate, it just didn't work for me.
Yeah. It's the, you don't know what you got till it's gone. Or what is Passenger's song about the... never mind. I'm not even going to try. But
I know what you're saying. It's definitely kind of that she didn't realize how much she loved him until she lost him. And I get that. You know, it wasn't completely unbelievable for me, but there was that thought, like, man, why didn't you seem to care so much before?
Right.
But yeah, the whole idea of her finding all the keys around the TARDIS, that was kind of cool. The whole thing with the patch. She's, you know, she tricks the doctor, which we find out the doctor actually tricked her, which was another thing that was a little odd, in my opinion, that the doctor kind of let her go this far with the whole ruse of it.
It was definitely interesting to get to that point and see he just wanted to see it play out. And I think we get a hint of it in that conversation. Like, he didn't believe she would go through with it. The burning of the TARDIS keys in the volcano, he really didn't think she would go. We even get him calling her Clara, my Clara, which I immediately thought of Sarah Jane, my Sarah Jane, that familiarity there. I don't think he believed it, that it would actually happen. What did you think of the conversation about time can be rewritten, those aspects of it?
Well, it definitely calls into question some of the logic in Doctor Who. The Doctor is saying, yes, time can be changed, but it has to be done very carefully. There's certain things that can be changed, and I know if it can or not, kind of thing.
Right. I can break the rules. I know what rules I can break. I know what rules I can't break.
Right. But then he says something about the paradox loop.
Yeah.
Which makes no sense at all, because they've broken that a million times in Doctor Who. So,
right.
Yeah. I mean, it's all timey-wimey, but his explanations to her were almost disrespectful because she's like, I've been traveling with you. I know you can do this. Like, don't try to tell me you can't. But he kept, you know, he stuck to his story. You know, I can't do this. It would be a paradox loop. If I go back and change the reason why you came here, you'll never come here.
Right.
It seems like just a couple episodes ago we were talking about that with...
Yeah, the time heist.
The time heist, yeah. So, yeah, it is funny. But here's something else that stuck out to me, and I don't know, you probably thought about it too, but who cares if you lose all the keys? Can't the Doctor just snap his fingers and open the doors?
I know, like, right?
He's been doing that forever. He can snap his fingers, the door's open. He's never needed a key, or at least recently he hasn't needed a key anyway. So throw the keys in the lava. I don't care. I can just snap my fingers.
Yeah, he hasn't needed the key since Silence in the Library, right?
Right. So that to me was a little bit of a misstep, I think, because it's been so well established that he can just open the doors with his fingers.
Yeah. Another thing that I just want to toss out there about this entire exchange, even the fact that Danny was hit by a car, did any thoughts come to your mind for the Rose Tyler, Christopher Eccleston, Doctor episode Father's Day, where Rose's dad is hit by a car, Rose convinces the Doctor to go back in time, and then she, because she wants to see him one last time, and then she saves her dad. Any of that, like, come to mind as we're talking about Danny getting hit by a car, and then Clara wanting the Doctor to break rules, and then the Doctor saying, hey, I can't, paradox loop, all that jazz?
Yeah, it didn't actually come to my mind until you just now brought it up. But I guess the Doctor wanted to avoid any interaction with those time dragon things that were...
Right, trying to clean the wounds of time.
That was weird. Yeah, so, yeah. I'm glad they didn't go there again.
Yeah, I found myself at this exchange, and I felt like a fool at the time. My wife was sitting next to me, as always. Here, I'm like talking to the TV, trying to convince Claire. He can't do it. He knows what will happen. I just kept on thinking back to the Father's Day episode and, yeah, the creepy time dragon things breaking into the church.
I'm kind of glad that the doctor has kind of these rules. It would be kind of stupid if every time something bad happened, he could just go back and fix it. You know, it would take away a lot of the gravity of the situations that he gets himself into. So it's a good rule to have. And I'm glad they haven't done it too much. I know they've broken the rule before, but in this situation, I was glad the Doctor stuck to his guns and said, nope, we can't necessarily go back and save his life, but I am willing to at least try to find him. You know, I'm willing to go to hell, he said.
Yeah.
You know, where we can find out. If he's still out there, we will find him. Clara gets to put her fingers back in the weird gooey thing, and they finally get to find this other world or nether world or nether sphere.
Yeah. It brings, and I'm sorry, just to backtrack just one more time, because I don't want to skip over what was possibly my favorite exchange from this entire season, because the Doctor reveals to Clara that he basically let everything play out. The keys aren't really destroyed, all that. And then Clara, they're back in the TARDIS. Claire asks, what are we going to do? He says, go to hell, meaning they were going to look for Danny. Claire took it as just the, yeah, you're right. I should just get out of here. I completely understand. She starts walking out. And then there's that really, I thought, an awesome exchange between the Doctor. The Doctor essentially says, do you, or Clara says, don't you realize what I just did? And he said, yeah, you betrayed me. You went against everything that I've ever stood for, which I think is kind of a funny statement. But then the doctor follows up and says, do you think our friendship means that little, that I wouldn't then still help you? It's kind of, I kind of feel like we've gotten to that point where he's no longer like the mean gruff doctor who's trying to prove himself. I really felt like I saw a bit of Smith coming out there, like the good natured, well, not good natured, but like sweet, innocent Smith coming out at that moment. What did you think of that little exchange?
Yeah, I liked that. That was some of the dialogue that I was kind of referring to earlier that I really enjoyed, was that scene. And it did show you that he does care for her, you know, yeah. Even though she did, you know, she was willing to forever lock him out of the TARDIS if he couldn't snap his fingers. She was willing to do that and betray him. And yet he still is, you know, he was upset. He told her he was upset, but he said, you know, just because you betray me, that doesn't mean that I'm not going to help you. And that's how much I care about you. And that was, you know, it was nice to see. And it did make me, I actually thought right away of, you know, like, why does he care about her? He's never really acted like he cares about her. And then I remembered, oh, wait, this is the same guy that was Matt Smith. This is the same, this is the same doctor. You know, he has just changed faces. So he still has memories from Matt Smith and, you know, that version of the doctor. So he does really care about her, and he's shown that. So, yeah, it was a good exchange.
Yeah. So we find mausoleums, we find skeletons in glass cases, all that wonderful stuff. We find Danny, though, in the nether sphere. We get reintroduced to Seb. Just the character itself, Seb. What do you think of him?
So Seb is the guy that was kind of Danny's little tour guide.
Yeah. Okay. So we've seen him earlier with the police officer when the police officer died in the caretaker. When the police officer died in the caretaker, he goes into the nether sphere. What we now know is the nether sphere. Seb is the one that talks to him. Missy has no interaction with that guy because I guess he's not a high enough priority. But that's when we first got revealed this additional character in the nether sphere as far as Seb. But then here we get in Dark Water, we have an even longer exchange with Danny from that character. And I just want to know your gut reaction as far as more of a character. I'm pretty convinced he's going to be showing up more in Death in Heaven. Do you like the guy? Do you think he's a pointless addition? What are your thoughts there?
No, I mean, he was definitely a necessary part of the episode. You had to have somebody there to kind of, you know, explain to the audience where they were. And so by explaining to Danny, he's explaining to us, you know, where we're at. So it was a necessary character. I thought the guy did a good job, you know, the actor that played him. You know, he's very matter of fact. You know, he's seen it all before. He doesn't necessarily feel bad for Danny, even though Danny just died. You know, it was a interesting character. He didn't bother me. I think maybe even before this, we get kind of the first interaction with Missy. And when the doctor and Clara first get to the nether sphere, or I guess they're not at the nether sphere, are they?
No, they're in St. John's.
But we don't necessarily know where they're at.
Right, exactly.
At this point, but they do interact with Missy, which I was interested to hear what your thoughts were on this, because we've had all these theories about who Missy is, and it is revealed in this episode, and we'll get to that. But I don't think any of the theories that we'd ever heard were that she was some sort of a robot, you know, a mobile intelligence systems interface, you know, Missy. And it really threw me off when she kind of introduced herself as that, because I was like, oh, really? That's wow. Like, that's the big reveal, that she's just this interface. So I was curious to hear kind of what your initial reaction was. Did you fall for it? Did you think that it was a misdirect right away? What was your reaction?
I was utterly confused. It's well known, I watch every episode with closed caption on, and not only on the web, but also in the closed caption. Her name is Missy. So when she said that the what was the acronym again?
Mobile Intelligence Systems Interface with
so,
both S's are in systems. S-Y-S-T. So yeah.
So it would be M-I-S-S-I.
Yes.
Is what that acronym would be. And like that was the biggest confusion for me. I'm like, why in the world that acronym doesn't make any sense? Her name is spelled with a Y. Why is it M-I-S-S-I as opposed to M-I-S-S-Y? I probably got caught up, way too caught up in that. I was really puzzled, though. I thought, okay, she plays a really good cyborg. Not at all what I expected. And there was a lot of weird stuff that was going on in that scene. I enjoyed it, though. Like, I was excited. Missy is in an episode interacting with the doctor. I had no idea what was going on, and none of it made any sense to me. None of the theories that I heard really were starting to line up in my mind. She definitely seemed like she knew who the doctor was. I was excited at that point, though. It was a really high point. I don't know. I loved from start to finish the entire episode and just having her come on the scene where the doctor's reading or looking at the text that's scrolling and the voice is there. And he's like, wow, that's tough. Is it hard to read back to front? Why the voice and the text scrolling text. And then she like comes through the screen. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. How about yourself? Am I completely off base? Did I just go way too fanboy on that one?
No, it threw me off because I was just disappointed. I thought that was, you know,
that was the big reveal.
I didn't sniff out the misdirect, so I was just like, wow, like this is it. She's a robot. And then the whole thing where she has the doctor feel her heart. I guess maybe that should have tipped us off as to the bigger reveal at the end. And she kisses the doctor, you know, there's this whole interaction with her that I was just like, okay, this is different, but, the payoff isn't till the end. So,
right. And they did a really great job of, I think some of those confusing elements, just because the doctor was utterly confused. And I think they did a really good job of feeding that same confusion to the audience. So the big long kiss and the doctor's just like, is it over? And he's frozen and he doesn't really know what's going on. Then the feeling of the heart and then the doctor freezes, which watching back through the episode, they did a really good job of not playing a heartbeat. All they did was play like there was a change of music and it was really intense. But then the doctor was just utterly puzzled. And Clara thought that the doctor was like frozen for other reasons, which I think was another really good misdirect. But yeah, I think they did a really good job in that scene of having the character of Missy come on screen, allowing there to be an interaction, but still keeping the truth of who Missy was completely hidden.
So let's talk about the other, I guess, bad guys that are in this episode, and that would be the Cybermen.
Yeah.
We have this scene where they're going through, they're looking at these skeletons, they're submerged under this water, and then it's revealed that these skeletons are actually Cybermen, and the reason that we can't see their, you know, metal shell is because they're in this dark water, which only shows organic matter. So, I had forgotten that the Cybermen were supposed to be in this episode.
Did you really?
Yeah, I had totally, like, I know we had talked about it, and I just...
But they've been in almost every screen cap leading up to this episode.
Sometimes when I watch TV, I have the ability to kind of just shut off everything else that I know. You know, it's just kind of like I can get immersed in the story and forget spoilers, forget stuff that I've heard, and just watch it. And that's where I was in that zone. So, like, when it was revealed that it was a Cyberman, I was actually surprised. Like, as the water's coming down and I see the top of the Cyberman's head, I was like, oh!
That's awesome.
But, yeah, that was – it was kind of interesting because I feel like there are a couple things that I never really thought about. Like, I never thought that inside of a Cyberman was a skeleton. I always just assumed it was just the full body that was just kind of, you know, smashed into this Cyberman suit and – upgraded with this new outer shell. But the fact that it's just a skeleton inside there, was that kind of how you imagined it?
The only way that I can say yes is because the episode that Pandurica opens, when they're kind of down in the, like, they're underground with the Pandurica, and there's the Cybermen guards. At one point, as it's like attacking Amy, the faceplate flies open, and there's a human skull inside of that.
Good recall. So
that was like, that was the only reference, though. So I didn't know that the entire body was like the full human skeleton. I thought it was the head, I guess, just associating it with the brain and stuff like that. Like, they just kept everything intact. But then I guess thinking back to Craig, closing time, where they're like wanting to put the entire body in the suit, I guess it makes sense that, yeah, the entire skeleton would be there. Didn't think about that until just now, but
so
yeah.
What are they upgrading? Like, that's, I guess I'm kind of confused when they put the body into the suit and then the body just obviously just degrades into a skeleton. What part of the human is remaining that, like, what are they actually upgrading other than the fact that it's this robot on the outside?
Yeah.
Is it just the consciousness? I guess, like, that's something I never got that. And if you only need the human's consciousness in the Cyberman suit, then why do you need to butcher them and put them inside there in the first place?
Yeah. Up to this episode, I always thought that it was like the brain, like they were robotic zombies in essence. They just wanted your brain and they took all of you to get your brain. And then they stripped you of emotion and all of that. And I think we're getting there with some of the things that, was referred to from the Nether Sphere, which we find out it's special technology that no one should really have, and the Doctor's really puzzled by that. But all of these minds that we've seen over the entire series 8 have been uploaded into this Nether Sphere. And then we get a few other reveals from Danny where he's given the option to delete Danny. I think it's just deleting his emotions, though, who he is as a person, not necessarily deleting himself altogether. And I think the ultimate plan is to upload all of those consciousness that all the consciousnesses that are in the Nether Sphere to these Cybermen. Yes. So they're upgrading everything at that point. But yeah, I don't know if it makes much sense now that, like, all the minds, the consciousness is somewhere else.
Okay, so we're going to talk about Danny in a second, but before we get there, I do have one more thing. Somebody had brought this up, and I don't know if it was just something I saw on Twitter or what, but when the dark water is there and the skeletons are sitting there, somebody had kind of brought up the fact that if we could only see organic matter, then why could we see the button that they pushed and the chair that they were sitting in?
Awesome. I thought you were going somewhere else because I also saw some comments of like, you can see the skeletons resting completely on the chair. And if there's truly something else in there, you should have been able to see it. Yeah, you would have been able to see a gap.
Yeah.
But yeah, I never thought about that other aspect.
It's getting nitpicky, but still, yeah, they're I didn't
we demand it, flawless Doctor Who.
But when somebody brought that up, I was like, oh yeah, that's true. Unless they somehow created the chairs and the button out of organic matter. So you could still see it. But yeah, that stuck out to me. But yeah, you had kind of brought up Danny. You had brought up what the Nether Sphere was. So in your opinion, or I guess maybe it's just fact, the Nether Sphere is not actually people. There's not, you know, Danny isn't actually there. It's just his consciousness. So it's more like of a Matrix type thing.
Right. We have Riversong going into the hard drive in Silence in the Library. That's essentially what we have. Riversong is dead, but her consciousness lives on.
So maybe that place that she went in Silence in the Library is just another part of the Nether Sphere, and they're going to bump into Riversong at some point.
Oh, man. I didn't even put those two together, but what would that be like?
But yeah, that was interesting to me because I was trying to figure out if that means, okay, Danny got hit by a car, Danny is dead, his consciousness lives on. Is there any hope, do you think, that we will be getting Danny back? Or is he, you know, is this kind of a way for us to know he's gone for good. His, you know, he's dead. The best we might get is they upload him into some computer somewhere, or he could be like, they could upload him into K-9.
Oh my goodness, wouldn't that be something?
Or handles, they could just carry him around. I think somebody else had mentioned that. Did we mention that last episode?
Oh my goodness, no. But there's there are teasers from Death in Heaven where the Doctor's holding something that looks very similar to handles.
Huh.
What would that be like?
So, do you think there's any possible way that Danny Pink will come back as Danny Pink? Or is he done?
I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that the Doctor finds some way to re-upload Danny to where Danny should be.
Into his actual body.
Just thinking... Into his actual body. Just thinking through everything. Like, always in Doctor Who, we have magic, we have supernatural explained through science or aliens or what have you. They just used science, a massive hard drive, to explain heaven, to explain an afterlife. And I have a feeling that the Doctor is going to find some way to route everything back for his Clara. I don't think Danny's gone for good. I don't know if everybody's going to be coming back. I think that might be interesting if he's going to find a way that everybody lives, nobody dies. But yeah, I think he's going to find a way with Danny. That's just my optimism speaking.
So Danny he has a moment where we've kind of always wondered why was he so traumatized from the time that he was a soldier? It had been hinted at that he had killed someone or killed at least one person. And now we get the reveal, and we actually get to see him as a soldier firing a gun, and we get to find out what happened, why he's so traumatized. Were you surprised by, like, kind of the reveal that he had actually accidentally killed a child?
No. I feel like from the very first episode, they gave us a pretty strong indication of what happened. And I think in today's day and age, just the realities of what take place in a combat setting and the tragic, very unfortunate situations, I feel like they let it play out for so long and they've made such a big deal about it just across the board. That it wasn't a surprise when it came up. There were definitely surprising aspects about it. As far as we find out that the child wants to meet Danny in the Nether Sphere, and that interaction, that was surprising. That was a little bit odd to me. But I wasn't so surprised by what actually took place. Were you at all surprised? Was this another aspect that you kind of like blocked out and then you were fully involved in the episode and it caught you by surprise?
I was a little disappointed. I felt like it was an unnecessary scene, and I don't know if there's going to be more to it. If, you know, the fact that he meets the kid, you know, sits across a table from him and then the kid, you know, runs away and that was it. So I don't know if there's more to it, like that they're going to have that kid play a part maybe in something, or maybe that kid ends up saving Danny in some way, or helps in saving him. So
can I potentially spoiler here?
Is it something that has been revealed already in like trailers or something?
No, it's something that was like at the very end of the episode.
Okay.
Yeah, so as Danny, he's given the iPad, and it says like Danny Pink, and then there's the big delete button, and he's just looking at it. His eyes are blurry because he's just crying because of the whole situation of him forcing Claire to hang up on him, which was another really good exchange, by the way. Don't think we're going to go too in-depth on that one. But
disagree. We'll talk another, about it. I disagree. Okay.
But as he's staring at it, his eyes are all like blurry and tears and stuff. They show the reflection of the kid in basically over Danny's shoulder in the iPad. And then that's where the episode, at least with Danny, ends. So I have a sense, as you kind of have said, the kid in a way saves Danny. I think we're going to have that. He's going to help save Danny, who is Danny, from deleting Danny at that point.
Ah, see, I missed that. I didn't catch the reflection.
Ah, yep. So his reflection's there.
Got it. Okay. Well, then I will be happy with the appearance. I just thought maybe that was just kind of a, you know, that's just their way of showing us, okay, this is what happened to Danny. But I didn't think there was anything else to it. So it made me feel like the scene was unnecessary. But if the child, if the kid does end up playing a bigger part in the story, then it makes sense.
I think like the big part is, I don't know, for lack of a better way of putting it, the forgiveness aspect. Here, the kid, he had his life taken by Danny. Danny feels terrible. And now the kid's going to turn around and actually save Danny. I think it's going to be a pretty touching moment next episode. Or it has the potential of being.
So you brought up the conversation with Clara and Danny, where Clara is basically, she's been able to communicate with Danny. And the doctor's doubtful, you know, that it's actually Danny. So he's like, you need to quiz him or test him to make sure it's actually him. So Claire is asking him to say something that only he could know.
Say something, I'm giving up on you.
But all he could muster was like, I love you, over and over. And even at the end, she's like, if you say I love you one more time, I'm going to hang up on you kind of thing. And he's like, Clara, I love you. That part, I was just like, come on, Danny. Like, there had to have been something he could have come up with to prove who he was. There, I mean, they have been, you know, together for however long. They had to have had moments that only them two had shared that he could have said something, you know, that would have revealed who he was instead of just lamely saying, I love you, over and over again.
He wanted her to hang up, though. Because she was like, I'm going to do anything to get you out of there. And he said, no, don't come here. It's terrible. I don't want you to come here. And she's like, no, I'm going to save you. Just let me know that it's really you. And he said, I love you. And she said, say that again and I'm hanging up on you. And that's why with tears in his eyes, he says, I love you. And she hung up. He doesn't want her to save him.
Well, then I don't feel it's as pathetic then.
Yeah, Danny Pink is the man.
So selfless to the end.
Yes,
but yeah, I was,
even after the end, he's still selfless.
I was getting frustrated with him, but I guess I hadn't really picked up on the fact that, you know, I guess once she did say I will come get you, and he realized that by revealing who he was, that, you know, it would cause her to put herself in a danger, then he purposely said the wrong thing. Okay. See, this is why I keep you around, Adam. You clear these things up for me. Because I was just like yelling at the TV like, you idiot, Danny. Quit being so pathetic.
See, at that moment in time, I was crying with Danny.
Oh. So, were you really?
No, I wasn't.
Okay.
But I understood what he was trying to do. And I did that. Yeah, big reveal. We might as well jump to the end. So we know that the organic matter in the black water tanks aren't really organic matter. They're Cybermen. The tanks start draining. Missy starts laughing hysterically. The doctor figures out something's going wrong. He tries to escape. You do have stairs, right? Because the elevator's locked down, which, taking a step back, he abandons Clara, which I'm still trying to process in my mind. He left her in the mausoleum, but he goes down the stairs. Missy makes a comment. She's not a Dalek. Ha ha ha. Of course she has stairs. But the doctor is trying to save everybody. He knows what's happening. There's a mausoleum filled with Cybermen that are getting ready to conquer the world. And then he's out on the streets.
So they're in London?
Yes, they are in London.
Because I guess as an American, and they come out of the building and she's like, you know, look where we are. And I'm looking at the buildings and I'm like, okay, I don't know where you are.
Where
like,
are you?
I'm assuming it's London because the TV show is based in the UK. But yeah, that wasn't a big enough of a landmark for me, that cathedral, for me to instantly think London. But I didn't see the doctor as abandoning Clara at this point more than he just wanted to run out on the street and save as many people as he could. You know, he's just trying to warn people to run away. But I'm sure he had every intention to go back and get Clara.
So here's the big deal about where they are. Well, number one, they're in London. So, yeah, doom is imminent. And I think I called it St. John's earlier on, but it's St. Paul's Cathedral. And I watched the Doctor Who extra on this episode that downloads with my season pass. And it brought up how this was also where the 1968 classic Doctor Who episode, The Invasion, took place, where the Cybermen walked down the exact same steps of St. Paul's Cathedral. So Moffat is definitely drawing on that classic Who feel here. And I'm wondering if that Missy saying, look where we are, is not only for the Doctor's benefit, but also for the audience's benefit who are familiar with the classic episodes and would be like, oh, nostalgia. Here we are, St. Paul's Cathedral again, another Cybermen invasion. It's on.
Ah, nice. So it's an intentional callback to the classic series. Me being a beginner when it comes to classic series things, I did not pick up on it. But good that you watched that. So now you can explain it to me because the first thing I thought when she was like, look where we are. I'm like, I don't know where you are.
Yeah. I had no idea either. But I guess there's some pretty iconic shots of the Cybermen descending down the steps. The classic Cybermen descending down the steps.
We need to catch up. We need to get back on our classic Doctor Who homework.
We need to go back through series 8 and any reference, no matter how just like on the fringe it is, we need to go and watch those specific episodes because from everything I've read and seen and from what people have said, series 8 was chock full of classic Who references.
Nice. Well, we've gotten to it. The big reveal that we've been waiting for.
The big reveal.
Missy is not... She's not a cyborg, you know, interface computer thing.
Should we go through all the things that she's not?
Well, she had an interaction with the doctor earlier where she kills Dr. Chang. And then she's like kind of giving the doctor more hints of who she is. And she does say that she's a time lord at that point.
Yes.
But doesn't say
time lady.
And so, you know, that kind of makes you think, okay, there's some... You know, you had said something in the last episode where, you know, the doctor's wife from a long time ago, you know, maybe that's her. And I was starting to think maybe that's where they were going with it, you know.
Yeah.
She seems like a woman scorned and, you know, she has a bone to pick with him. So I was actually starting to think, hey, maybe that wasn't too far off. Obviously, we've met Jenny, the doctor's daughter. Didn't ever think that's who it was. She would have no reason to be angry with him. But I was starting to think Master... at this point, although I still felt like they wouldn't go there. But we get the scene where he's out in the street. She comes up to him. He's like, who are you? And she says, you know who I am. And then the whole thing with Missy is short for mistress, but I can't very well call myself master anymore, can I? Yeah, the master.
Yeah.
What, I mean, this was something that had been speculated. It's not, I don't think it blew anyone away because there was enough speculation out there that it was a possibility, but it still really surprised me that they went there.
I'm surprised. Let me take that back. I'm not surprised in that, oh my goodness, it's the master. I'm surprised that they actually went there. We have the first time in modern Who, or maybe I think it might be the first time ever where we have a, for lack of a better way of putting it, a gender swap. We have the master who's now the mistress, Missy. Yeah, it's surprising. And it does feel like even before the season started, we had heard rumors that that the master was going to be in there. And the only place that it made sense to have the master would be in the season finale. But then as Missy started showing up, I think it opened the door for so many other theories that even when she said that she was a time lady, she's very, she's a time lady, that still there were a lot of rumors going around that it could be Jenny's finally making a comeback. Well, probably not. But then there's also the Ronnie, or Ranny, however you want to pronounce it.
I think
who
it's
was
Rainy.
Rainy, the renegade time lady. So at that point, I honestly thought, oh, well, there we have it. We have a classic Who character coming back, renegade time lady. She regenerated. That's why we have Missy now hanging out here. But then when she did say Missy, short for mistress, couldn't very well call myself the master anymore. There were so many forum posts throughout the series being like, Missy, you know, Missy's just another, just a shortened form of mistress.
Yeah.
All those fans that went that direction with it had to feel pretty darn good about themselves when Missy essentially said the exact same things.
And it sets quite a precedence because, as we've always known in Doctor Who up until this point, if the Doctor regenerates, he becomes another male Doctor. River Song regenerated a few times, and every time she was a woman. So we've never had an instance in Doctor Who yet where a Time Lord regenerated from one gender to another. So this sets a new precedence, and I think it definitely opens the door for there to be a female Doctor now, because now that we've had the Master become a female, we know that the Doctor could become a female as well. Like, I think it was always kind of up in the air, like, well, could it happen? I know a lot of people wanted it to happen, but now we know it definitely can happen. It's only just a matter of time. Like, I guess we're to believe maybe this is a rare occurrence, because otherwise you would think the Doctor regenerated, you know, as many times as he has so far, that if it was just a chance that you could either become male or female, like a 50-50 thing, he would have been a female like a number of times already. So why, right. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just, this is a new thing. And is it, you know, maybe it's just a rare occurrence, or, you know, maybe it happens more than we know, but now we do know the Doctor could be a female eventually.
Right. And they've done, if they were looking to gauge fan reaction, they've selected a perfect test character to go with. We had the Eighth Doctor with the whole reference that he could, it could be a forced regeneration into a female. But now we have it where we have a Time Lord who has become a quote unquote Time Lady. And it does seem like it's just a matter of time. Are they trying to gauge fan approval? I don't know. But Moffat has definitely not closed the door on it being a possibility while he's a showrunner. I do feel like at this point, it is a matter of time. That precedence has been set. They've done a little bit. They've opened the door a little bit wider for it to happen.
So what do you think about this character? Now that we know Missy is the master, Do you approve of this is the way that they brought the Master back? Is this a character that you want to see as the Master?
Yes. And for one big reason, they did a great job with this two-part, leaving a pretty big cliffhanger. We have the reveal. We know who Missy is, and we know a part of the plan, but we don't know how dark Missy can be. We don't know how ruthless she can be. And from the previews for Death in Heaven, it looks like she can be pretty darn ruthless. I'm all for it. I'm ready for it. That's, be it male or female, the way that they've kind of set up, although I had major questions throughout the series, the way that they've set up the character, the way that they've worked with the reveal, and the way that they've just kind of left it hanging. Yep. I'm ready for the next episode. I'm ready to see how they continue to flesh out that character.
So I'm going to go the other way with it. I don't like her as the Master. I like her character. I think she is an interesting character. I think the actress that plays her does a great job. I don't like that this is now the Master. I don't know. I just had a different idea in my mind for the way they might bring the Master back. I didn't think it would be this soon, and I just don't like her as the Master. She doesn't seem like the master to me.
But do you think she's going to be the master for more than the two-part?
I would think she would be, and I hope that this isn't just a one-off. You know, she's just here for the finale. They figure out another way to kill her, and then that's it. I think if you're going to bring back the master that big of a villain, to me, the master is the main villain in Doctor Who. I know, like, the Daleks and the Cybermen show up all the time, but when the master shows up, it's a big deal. And I don't want it just to be a kind of a one-off story with him or her. But it's, yeah, I don't know. I guess I'm a little disappointed that this is how they decided to bring the master back. I liked how with Tennant, they got a guy that was very similar to Tennant, you know, a guy that was about the same age. You know, it just seemed like they could have been friends, and they're having this, you know, this strife against each other. You know, these best friends, it became enemies, and it just made sense. And I kind of was hoping for the same feel with the new master, that they would bring in another, maybe older guy, you know, same idea. He's similar, but he's gone one way, the doctor's gone another way, and they're now, you know, butting heads. Yeah. But now to turn him into a female, to me, just changes that dynamic. It has nothing to do with the fact that it's a girl. I could care less. You know, I don't mind that they have, you know, that there's a female character that's playing the master, but it just changes that dynamic for me that I really enjoyed. That's what I kind of had imagined it and thought, oh, this is gonna be really cool. They're gonna bring, you know, back the master, but he's gonna be different because the doctor's different, and the doctor's really mean now, you know, and he's this old mean guy. So they're gonna bring back this old mean master, and they're gonna be fighting. And then, no, it's like Mary, it's like dark Mary Poppins, you know, like that is not what I was expecting. And I'm sure it might turn out to be great, and I'll probably eat my words. But right now, as of this moment, I was disappointed that Missy turned out to be the master.
Well, we'll see. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. They've definitely given us a pretty interesting start for the character that we expected to see back. She is now back, different than what most people were expecting. I'm ready to see it play out.
So do you think they're going to call her, like, is she just the mistress now? Like, is that the way that we refer to her? Or do you think that we'll still be referring to her as the master?
I think we'll refer to her as Missy moving forward.
Oh, that's it's just like stripping away the identity of this villain in my mind. You know?
I guess if you look at it that way, don't ruin this for me, okay? Don't ruin for this.
It's like we had the master, and now we have Missy, and it's just, it's different. It's weird.
Right.
But we'll see. I mean, I hope that maybe this next episode, like you said, she's going to, you know, kind of turn it up a notch and be a little bit more ruthless. And
maybe from this point forward, she's going to be the mistress. Maybe Missy was just, now that the doctor knows, maybe it's the mistress.
I hope so. I kind of hope they don't call her Missy anymore. You know, if that's who she is, if she's the new version of the master and she's the mistress, let's call her the mistress. But yeah.
I mean, the master is the one that brought Clara and Matt Smith together. That's crazy to think about.
I kind of hope that they really, you know, kind of give us a bit of an explanation as to how the master was able to get back, you know, because the last time we saw the master, he was sent off with the Time Lords. Which I know everything that happened with the War Doctor and Matt Smith saving Gallifrey, or I guess all of them saving Gallifrey instead of destroying Gallifrey. You know, maybe that event had something to do with it, and that's what caused it so he could break out. I don't know. I hope they explain how the master, now mistress, was able to get back to us.
Oh, I'm sure we're going to have some explanation just with, now that the doctor knows, there's going to be all sorts of questions that he brings up. But good points. How does the mistress make it back? But then the mistress made it back even before all the War Doctor stuff, because it was the start of Clara's journeys with the doctor that the phone call took place. Timey-wimey, wibbly-wobbly.
And just the fact that she is now the mistress, so obviously she regenerated.
Yeah.
So what, you know, he didn't die when Tennant sent him off with the Time Lords, you know, so how, you know, how did he end up dying, and why, you know, why did he die? And yeah, there's a lot to be explained that I hope that we find out.
Yep. Agreed.
Yeah, I mean, very interesting episode. Lots of stuff happened. You know, major things happen. We have a death of a major character. We have the Cybermen returning. We have the return of the Master, who is now the Mistress. So, yeah, pretty big episode.
Yep, and it's only part one.
Only part one. We got part two coming up, and I'm, you know, excited to see how it all wraps up for the season.
Yep. It's gonna be good. I'm looking forward to it. The trailer for this next one, I have a hard time believing that the next episode, Death in Heaven, is only 45 minutes long. There's a lot that is gonna get packed into it.
Yeah, yeah. And I do you think that this will be kind of the end, you know, and then the Christmas episode will be a very much standalone story, or do you think that it'll tie in?
I think it's going to be a standalone. I think we have, I think it's going to be a standalone because everything's all happy again with Clara. I don't know. I'm just making this up. I think it's a standalone.
Yeah, probably. But, all right, well, let's go ahead and wrap up this episode of Bad Wolf Radio. As usual, you can leave us a review on iTunes. If you listen to our show and you enjoy what you hear, head on over to iTunes, leave us a nice 5-star review. We really appreciate it. You can follow us on Twitter at Bad Wolf Podcast. Facebook, we are Bad Wolf Radio. Search for us there. We are the one with the black and white logo. And you can send us feedback, badwolfpodcast@gmail.com. Shoot us an email. We would love to hear from you. And until next time,
later days.